Thank you, Jesus. You know, God really does love you. You may not love yourself, but God loves you. Hello? Well, I have probably the simplest. Some of you are going to say, oh, that's so simple. Why do we keep Robert around? That's such a simple message. We are. But you know, how many of y'all know sometimes we miss the simple things? I got a word for you tonight. It's a simple word. But I want to tell you something. If you catch what I'm saying tonight, I mean, literally, if you just don't walk out of here and say, oh, that was a good message, and then you can't remember, what was that Robert said? You know, I mean, if it impressed your heart, I got to tell you all this. So many years ago, listen, the church was turned this way. For those of you who don't know it, right over there at that column, there was where the church was. The glass is right here, and the church faced that way. That's how many years ago it was. Pastor Randy was preaching one night, and he preached this message called Lordship, It's the Matter of the Heart. And he preached that message, and it impacted me so much that I can still pretty much preach that message to this day because God spoke that message to me. And that was about 19. Oh, it had been about 88, 89, somewhere along in there. But I can still tell you, I still have the cassette. That's how old the message was. Not the 8-track, but the cassette. The point I'm trying to say is I've heard a lot of word, a lot of messages over the years. And, you know, I can't tell you all of them. I've preached a lot of messages. I can't tell you what I preached. But there's certain times and there's certain words that have been spoken by a preacher or whatever, or God spoke it to me out of the Bible, and it impacted me so much, it's still a part of me to this day. Amen? So I pray this is what this message does to you tonight, but you're going to say it so simple, and that don't forget it, okay? So get your Bibles out. And I want you to go to the book of Habakkuk, or however you want to say it. And we're going to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture, which you probably know by heart. I can't even find it. It's gone out of my Bible. Let me put my glasses on. Oh, that's better. Now I can see. What page is it on? See, I should have. It's gone, I'm telling you. Somebody stole it out of here. Where are you? I keep getting to Matthew. There it is. All right, still in there. 8:24. Okay. Verse 1, I'll stand my watch. No, I'm in chapter 2, Habakkuk 2, 1, excuse me. Getting ahead of myself here. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The title of this message, and I have a title for a Wednesday night message for a change. The title is, I just forgot it. Keep what you got. Title of the message is, keep what you got. No, I have nothing written down. This is fresh from just off the cuff. Keep what you got. So somebody take good notes. Okay. There's a principle to the kingdom of God that we forget a lot of times. How many of you, well, let's just do this. This is a little lesson tonight. Okay? How many of you, you have a scripture, you know, or a word that you really feel that scripture, God has really spoke that to your heart. That promise is really yours or something. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all would raise your hand and say, yeah, I've got some of those. Do you? Okay, what I want you to do right this moment is just jot that scripture down. Not write it out. You don't have to write out, you know, whatever it is. If it's 1 John 3:16, then write down 1 John 3:16. I just want you to write it down right there because I want to use that in just a minute on you. Okay. So many times in life, we as Christians, we get words, we get things from the Spirit of God, we write them down, and then they're really good for a week or two, and then we're looking for the next word. And then, you know, goes by, we get another word, and then we're looking for the next word. And, well, let me just tell you this. Let me back up and tell you the whole story, because I know this guy wouldn't mind telling it. Last week, one of my workers came to me, and he told me that he's having problems with his throat. And, you know, he's been a smoker most of his life, and his throat was really bothering him, and so he went to the doctor, and, you know, one led to another and led to another and led to another, and finally he goes to this doctor and said, well, we really need to do a CT scan, you know, and see what's going on with your throat and your neck and whatever. So they did the CT scan, so he comes to work, and he looks like Pigpen, you know, like with the cloud of dust all around him, you know, and he's just looking, you know, you could just see it all over him. I knew something was wrong, and so I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, the CT scan came back, and they said, doctor says, I've got a tumor. And it's not in my throat, but it's outside my throat. But there's a mass that they called it there. And he says, you know, it looks like it's cancerous. And so I said, man, you know, you got to understand, these are all guys on a job. I said, man, that's really rough, you know. I said, so, because we had said one time about, in men talking and about, we, you know, need to be doing some things in life. You know, you never know when you might get a basketball-sized tumor, you know. We said that. And so I said, oh, I guess you got it, huh? And so, you know, it wasn't too funny. And so, but I knew right there in my heart what God was going to do. So, I mean, y'all may think, oh, pastor, you're a heathen. Yeah, well, I'm pretty close sometimes. So as the day went on, we worked all day. Day was over with, I was needing to leave, and I called him over and said, hey, come here. I said, I need to talk in the office. And so we went in the office, and he said, what's up? And I said, I got to talk to you. I just want you to understand. I said, I got to leave. I don't have a lot of time to just be sitting here talking to you, but I want to tell you, you know, I'm gonna preach to you. So sit down in the chair. And he loves me. He's real respectful and everything. You know, he sits down, and it's like, okay. And I said, like, look, I got to tell you a truth. I know a truth. I know a truth that supersedes the mass in the tumor in your neck. I know a God that heals. And I got to tell you about him because I got to pray for you. And so I'm just going to go preacher on you for a minute. Just a while ago, I was contractor. Today, right this moment, I'm preacher. You're just going to sit down and listen. I said, I'm going to treat you just like you were one of my church members or you were my brother. And I'm going to preach. I said, well, okay. So I got my Bible out. Man, I just started just going through the Word. Just went through the Word about healing, this and that and the other. Explained it to him. And just like I do to anybody, explain it to him and everything. I said, okay, now I'm going to pray for you. And when I pray for you, I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to be healed. And so, you know, that was a little freaky. And so I said, so look, man, you know, you just sit there. Just sit there. I said, you don't have to say nothing, don't do nothing. Just sit there. I'm just going to pray for you. So I prayed for him. So nothing spectacular, no lightning bolt, no. I did sense the anointing, but I don't know if he did. And so I just prayed for him. And we were talking about, we're dirty. We've been working all day, sawdust all over us, tired, feet hurt. And it just preached and prayed for him. So then he had to go to San Antonio Monday, and they were going to do a sonogram, and then they were going to biopsy the tumor. And so the doctor goes in, then they sit down to do it, and I don't understand. Alex knows how this works, but some way the sonogram is defined so that they can guide the needle right to take the biopsy. And so they do the sonogram. The guy's doing the sonogram. He's doing the sonogram. He's doing the sonogram. He's doing the sonogram. He's doing the sonogram. 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 There ain't no tumor there. And so the guy is just like, what? And the guy says, well, I can't find it. There's no tumor in your throat. There's no tumor there. There's nothing there. I can't biopsy something that there's nothing. And so he just, like, you know, all doctors, no explanation. He says, you need to leave. So he walks out of the office and everybody says, his parents are there and they say, you know what? What? He's like, and don't take this the wrong way, but he said to his parents, he said that, he said, Robert really knows some people. And so I told him, so then he calls me on the phone. He said, dude, it's not there. It's gone. And so then he comes back to work. And so we're talking. And then the doctor calls him back. I'm getting to a point here as it goes with the message. So the doctor calls him back, said, look, you know, I know that there was no mass or anything like that, but, you know, we're concerned that maybe there's something wrong with your salivary, is that what you call it? Salivary gland, your salt gland, salivary gland in your throat, and that we think that, you know, you need to come back for that. So I stopped him right there in his tracks, and I said, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm telling you, God worked a miracle in your life. You know he did. You got a CT scan sitting right there, shows that there is a tumor in your neck, and you got a sonogram sitting right there, shows there's not. You know God did a miracle. I said, man, I know it. And I said, so don't you get in fear now. So anyway, he goes back. They do a biopsy of his salt gland. Says, no, he's just a salt gland. No, just ain't nothing wrong with it. Everything's okay. No cancer, nothing. All right. So while I was there, I was quickened by the Holy Ghost to tell him this that I'm telling you tonight, because it was so profound to me what God said. What we do so many times is we write the vision, but we write a vision. Lord, I just thank you. You know, in 10 years, we're going to see this. We're going to have a mansion. We're going to have this. Because we're taught, as humans, we're taught that, you know, you want to go higher. You want to go farther. You want to go up. And so we're always moving up. But the problem is we forget what we got. Because what we got is the building block on what we're going to get. And we forget the simple word that we got the one time when we really heard the voice of Jesus saying he loves us. Because we're now trying to hear the word of the Lord for the direction that we need to go in this moment, in this hour, to see this miracle wow take place and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we lose what we've got because we don't use what we got. We don't keep what we got. We lose that moment that we had because we're trying to move on. And the vision that we're supposed to write is what we got on the tables of our heart. And that becomes our precious jewel, our precious stone, the thing that we never, never lose. My Bible, you know, I have Bibles everywhere, okay? I have a gun and a Bible fetish. I got to have them. Sometimes I just got to go buy a new Bible. And, you know, the shame of it is now as my eyes have changed in life, I can't see them. And so, but I just find them. I just got to have one. It's just pretty leather or something like that. I just got to have it. And so I got Bibles everywhere. And I never throw a Bible away. I have all my old Bibles. So it's like this one, you know. This one's kind of tattered and torn and whatever, but I love this old Bible. But it's all marked up, and I'll come by a scripture reading in my daily reading, and I come by a scripture, and it's all marked up, and I'm like, man, I marked that baby up. What did I write over here? What is this? What is this? What was this saying over here? What? Huh. How did I see that in that? You know what? In other words, at that moment that was really speaking to me, it's inspirational to me, it was just ringing off the bell to me, it's just, But then now, I see I forgot it. I didn't keep it. I didn't keep what I got because I was going on to the next thing. And the Lord says, when I sat down here to write the vision, what I was saying was, I'm giving you building blocks. I'm giving you stepping stones. I'm giving you things so that you don't lose what you got. And so, you know, this gentleman that got healed, I gave him God's promises today, and I went and opened it up to the healing scriptures. And I said, look, you need to every day, I know this is not your normal practice, but every morning you need to wake up, you need to be drinking your coffee, you need to get this God's promises right here at this deal. It's already got it laid out there for you. There's a word. This is what it says. You need to read that word and then put that into a thank you to Jesus. Because you've got to keep what just happened. Because if you don't, something's going to come up and it's going to steal it. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, the enemy's talked you out of it. And when the enemy talks you out of it, you lose it. And then you got to get it back. Now, I may get in trouble on this one, and so you don't have to raise your hand or participate. You can just listen. But how many of you have something that you purchased? I don't know. It could be a tool, a wrench, a ring, something that you purchased yourself, wasn't a gift to you. Okay, I'm not talking about you inherited grandma's wedding ring. I'm talking about something you bought that you've held on to that's valuable to you, that you know where it is right now. And you've had it for a long time. How many of you can say you've had what I'm talking about you could have had for 20 years, that you know where it is, you can get your hands on it? Put your hand up. Okay? How about longer? How about longer than 20 years? Well, see, I'm starting to date us, and I'm sorry, you know. I've got a wrench set, a socket set I bought when I was 16. You know, I've kept it all these years. I can close my eyes and remember walking into the store and buying them. SKS. I now took them and took them out of the toolbox and don't use them anymore, you know, and then just keep them up there, you know, just to have as a memento. What I'm saying to you is precious to me. I kept it. I know where it is. If I can keep my son out of it, you know. There's a good point. There's things that are really precious to me that aren't precious to him. Because, you know, I have a 2-pound ball peen hammer that my wife gave me for Christmas because I wanted it. And I keep it with me all the time. It's precious to me. I have a 12-inch crescent wrench that doesn't leave my side. What I'm saying is that they're precious to me and I keep them and I look over them. But we can't do that with the Word. We can't be jumping from word to word. We've got to take those words. That's putting the vision in your life, taking that word that's holding you in the place and writing it on your heart and standing up in your mirror and saying, God, all I know is I heard your voice say to me, you love me. And you gave me the scripture that backs it up. That's what I know, Lord. I may not know anything else in life, but I know that one. And I'm hanging on to it. And it's real to me. I can remember where I was standing and what I did. That's how we write it on our hearts. That's how we keep it precious. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of word, but if you've got a lot of word, you've got to have a lot written on your heart, and you've got to be able to remember that. I have approximately 500 scriptures down in this little book, okay? But the ones that mean the most to me is the first page here that's the C. There's 19 scriptures written right in the front, this front little page right here. And of those 19 scriptures, I can tell you the place I was at when that became real to me. I can tell you where I was standing. The rest of them, well, they're good word that I found in the Bible that I quote and I speak and I declare over my life. But I can't tell you where I was standing when I read that. But I can tell you on these 19 where I was standing. That's what it's got to be. It's got to become so precious. That is writing the vision into your heart so that you don't lose what you got. That's what you stand on. Let's go look at another scripture over here because this scripture's really for everybody. Deuteronomy, Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 6. And just looking at my little deal right here, I got a word. August the 1st of 2001, written down here, took place right about where Becky's sitting when the church was turned the other direction. And Sister Dodge was here that night. And we were just got through with worship. And she came one-footed rolling to the front in her wheelchair. And she rolled up right over there and grabbed me by the collar of the shirt and dragged me down to her and gave me this word. She said, "Stand, don't quit. The nation's yours. You will present a nation. I'll stand with you." So she said, "Stand right about there." And sometimes it doesn't seem like any of that is even possible. But I had to go back here to what the vision said. I don't want to lose what I got. Why am I trying to get something else when I already haven't held on to what I got? It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people of the face of the earth." Now, just think about this. They're just getting ready to go in the promised land. Everything they're going to conquer, they're going to, you know, everything's glory days of milk and honey is about to take place. Y'all with me? "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you're the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you." Why did he choose you? Because the Lord loves you. Why did you get saved? Why did he call you? Because the Lord loves you. Because he kept the oath which he swore to your fathers. "The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Listen. Let me put that in New Testament for you. Because God loved Jesus, and Jesus went to the right hand of the throne of God, and then Jesus inherited everything, because it says in Ephesians 1 that all things have been granted unto Christ. And because Jesus said, "You know, Daddy, this is what I want to do." I'm paraphrasing this, but y'all just let me have it. "This is what I want to do. Anybody that believes in me and confesses me is their Lord and Savior, then, you know, let's save them and then give them all the benefits of the kingdom of God." And Daddy said, "Whatever you say, son, because I love you and I've given you my oath that whatever you redeem will be redeemed." And so I said, "Okay, that's the way it's set up. Every person that believes that I'm the Lord and Savior, my mighty hand will bring you out, and I'll redeem you from any bondage." Now, who's doing it? Who's doing the mighty hand and who's doing the redeeming? Not you. Him. Can you imagine church just waking up every day saying, "Lord, I just thank you that you're in charge of today, Lord. I just praise you that I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that today, no matter what, you're ordering my steps and you're preparing my way and you're making all my crooked paths straight. And, you know, it's going to be a happy day because, Lord, how could it not be? Your mighty hand is doing whatever I need to be doing today." Wow. Wouldn't that be a novel way to live? Instead of waking up and saying, "Oh God, this is it. We're going to do this. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. How did you do that? How did you do that?" Then he goes on to say, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he's God." I just like the way that sounds. "Therefore know the Lord your God, he's God," with a big G. "The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him, and he will repay him to his face. I mean, how do you like to have God all up in your face? That might work next time somebody's giving you, you know, hard time. You say, "How you want God all up in your face? You're about to get God all up in your face." That'd probably end it right there. What? All I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this simple, simple message. You can't lose what you got. You got to hang on to it. You got to write it in your heart. You need to go back and do some revisiting to the things that are said to you. You need to take that scripture I told you to write down that you know that God spoke it to you, and you need to be rehearsing it. It needs to be so fresh on your lips that it never falls off. It needs to be so fresh in your heart that it never, ever quits. You need to go back and revisit those things. Even you got to sit down with your spouse and remember, now, where was that? What were we doing? I know he said it, but what? Maybe you haven't gone and revisited the scripture. Maybe you've been quoting it so long that you haven't gone back into the Bible and looked at it, and maybe you've been misquoting it. I found that to be true in my life. But I was saying something, but when I really went back and read it, I was twisting a little bit. It wasn't quite exactly what the word was saying. I'm not talking about paraphrasing. I'm talking about I missed the spirit of the word. All I'm saying to you, church, is, man, you guys are so blessed. You've had so much. And to see my friend get healed like that really encouraged me that, you know, it was so simple. It was so easy. It was so easy. There was no religiosity about it. It was in the middle of a dirty workroom on a job. And prior to that, probably no telling what had come out of their mouth. And then God moves. Because you know what? He's God. And he keeps covenant. And he said if we lay hands on the sick, they'd get well. And all I'm saying to you tonight is don't lose. You need to go back and revisit. You need to go back and refresh. You need some refresher courses. Because already God's told you some amazing things, but are we walking in those? Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, wow. God loves you. He made a covenant with Jesus to make sure you're taken care of. So figure out. You know, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that, you know, we go buy a car and you drive it off a lot and let's just say the dealer was good to you and you put gas in it and, you know, you had a full tank of gas and then if you call the dealership and say, man, this thing's broke, it doesn't work, it doesn't run. He said, where is it? And he said, well, it's over here. And they go, you know, try to see what's going on with it. And they just found out you just ran out of gas. You never put any gas in it. And they'd have to say, well, you've got to put gas in the car. And, well, I don't know. I didn't buy a car for that. I thought things were going to run forever like this. That's how Christians are using the word. They don't even know how it really works. Right? And we would just look at somebody that drove their car out of gas and then thought it was broke. We'd just say, man, what's the matter with you? You know, because we understand how to operate that vehicle. But then, you know, what if the person never changed the oil? It's a little more of a detailed thing. You could put gas in it, just run it, never change the oil. Right? All I'm saying is we need to learn to operate in the Word. And it needs to be so real to us that when situations arise, we just know what it says. And because it's already written on our heart, we got it. Let's not make it more complicated than it is. Amen? Okay, so punch the person beside you and say, don't make it complicated. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's take up the offering. You need an offering envelope? Levanto su mano, and we will get you one. Praise you, Jesus. Dinner on the grounds or Sunday? Kids ablaze. Wild game. Shoot a pig and bring it into church. Cut him up over there. Yes, thousands and thousands, myriads and myriads of presents for kids. Big spring. If you had your big spring kid, bring the present. All right, well, put your hand on your offering. Let's pray over it. Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that we are blessed, highly favored people. Lord, that you chose us. You blessed us. You've given us word. And I just declare tonight, Lord, that you've given each and every one of us words over finances. And I declare millionaires, miracles, signs, wonders, Lord, everything. You just take care of it. You just make it happen. Lord, you bring everything about, every need, because you said that you're the God who supplies every need that we have. So, Lord, I praise you for it, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Testimony, give me one. Y'all listen up. Uh-huh. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Did you know that Isaac was praying for his right heel? But he didn't get healed. You stole it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. Awesome. That's right. That's right. But God. So what we got to do? I mean, that's what it's all about. Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Grab the person standing beside you. Now, Father, I just declare as we go out into this world, Lord, we're going to be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's what you called us to be. So I declare we're going to shine, we're going to bless, we're going to heal, we're going to touch, we're going to minister, we're going to preach your word, we're going to lay hands on the sick, we're going to testify, we're going to do everything that we can, because, Lord, you said that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we're declaring it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen.